The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. Happy All Saints and All Souls Day. I do not know about you, but one thing I can say about myself with certainty is that I hate to fail. Failure is the stone around my neck that can hold me back. Now, I know that each of us has an inner voice. One that tells us just what exactly we can and cannot do. It's that voice that reminds us of our limits. In church work, they always say that your downfall is sex, money, or power. But those three categories never made sense to me because my downfall is the fear of failure, no matter the category. Now, I should give some background here. I grew up in a slightly competitive family, only it wasn't about who won. It was that you were never allowed to quit if you thought you were going to lose the game. So games of Go Fish or Parcheesi or whatever it was, you had to finish the game, and there is the family tale of me sitting under the table for 20 minutes refusing to finish Parcheesi because they had blockaded all of my people and I wasn't going to win and I hated the game and my parents would not let me go to bed until I finished, and then I actually won fair and square. There was no cheating in my house. But because of this, I began to realize I play games that I know and I like to play. I'm not a fan of chess or checkers because I can't think strategy three moves ahead. I don't have the strategy to enjoy the challenge. Now, let me be clear. It's not that I don't or won't engage in things where I might not do as well as I like, but I'm also really clear about what my limits are. So when my friends have said to me for the past 44 years of my life, okay, let's say 24 just to be realistic, let's go run a half marathon, let's go run a whole marathon, let's do the Risby, you know, century ride across, you know, Iowa. No. Does this body look like it runs? No, I've never been a runner. But fast forward to this year, and my competitive side got the best of me. You see, there's a colleague of mine who decided to run a Tough Mudder, 10 and a half miles, 20 obstacles. But to do a Tough Mudder, you don't do it by yourself, you do it with a team. So he began gathering friends and a few parishioners to join him on this venture. And as I listened, my competitive side, it was all the fit dudes who don't know this but are sometimes known in the diocese as the cool dudes who were gathering to do this. They're in their 30s and early 40s, and I'm pretty sure don't eat as many cheeseburgers as I do. But as I listened, it was 6 months out, And I thought, well, maybe I could do this. And quite frankly, they need a woman on the team anyway. But I don't like to fail, right? So luckily, another woman joined the team, but I realized I was still close to the oldest, and I had my work cut out for me for the next 6 months. Remember, my family played board games. Not soccer, not football, no rugby, no 10-mile hikes when we're camping in the Sierras. No, we read books as a competitive sport in my family. But for some reason, I thought I had a shot at doing this because it wasn't about how quickly you finished, but it was about finishing with your whole team. And I thought, well, that's a strategy that just might work for me if I were to take on this physical challenge. So I worked and I worked on my running time. And then I realized I had failed for the 8 weeks of training when I figured out the treadmill isn't the same as running on the street. Oops. I hired a trainer to work with me, and George is great. I adore him, but I also knew that if I didn't do stuff on my days off, which I didn't always, I wasn't gaining all the upper body strength I needed to pull myself over walls or to jump up and hold on to a greased quarter pipe. I had hoped to lose 15 pounds before the event, but with two trips to France, that did not happen. And then writing a doctoral thesis, like really, who eats well during that? I debated dropping out a zillion times because I knew I just didn't have what everybody else had. And then there'd be those days where I would increase my weight in lifting and I'd think, well, maybe. But my largest drawback was knowing that I would hold my team back. I talked to the team leader ad nauseum, and I really do mean ad nauseum, about my potential inability to not pull my weight as a team member. I was gonna slow them down. I wasn't gonna be able to assist that much in the group challenges. And I kept being told, it's about the team, Rachel. It's not about time. We're doing this as a team. So last Saturday arrived, and I had no idea if I would finish the 10 and a half miles, much less the obstacles. And I wasn't scared, really, at that point, because I knew there was nothing else I could do to make myself successful. I had to depend on the team. And yet all these scripts kept running through my head. When did you last walk 10 and a half miles? And by the way, it's not walking 10 and a half miles. Did I mention there are three hills, two of them like this and one like this? You know, the guys could run this course if you weren't with them. You're gonna be the slowest and hold up the team. You aren't even gonna be able to do all the obstacles. Get out now before it is too late and you don't fail in front of your peers. Within the first mile, hold on, I have to back up. So when you start this, you do your little warm-ups with everybody, and it's, you know, 100 people all doing your warm-ups. And then they say, okay, get over to the start line, only to get over to the start line, you have to crawl over a wall. Not a little wall, like an army training wall. And so, like, before you're even on the course, you're having to jump over walls. And I was like, oh, my God. And yet they boosted me. They were right there, and whoop, I have all the bruises to show it. But within that first mile, I was behind the rest of the team. And we had three long major hills to climb up and down. Throughout that entire time, not counting carrying people, climbing over, climbing under, going through mud, swimming through icy mud. Early on, a teammate came up to me and I started worrying about how I'm going slow and, you know, maybe all should go on without me. And he said to me, this is about team. It's all about the pace, no trouble. We will finish this together. And for 10 and a half miles without planning it or talking about it, a team member stayed with me every time I was behind the rest of the group, which was always. They would stop and wait for me at the summit or at an obstacle or just along the way when they knew I needed to catch up and I would see ahead this blob of red that was my goal, especially when I could walk up a summit only 30 steps at a time, and that was with a team member coaching me. My team boosted me, pulled me, encouraged me, waited for me, and never, not once, did they say a disparaging word. They may have in the group, but they didn't to me, and I don't think they did in the group either. I never, ever in a million kajillion years thought I would enter a Tough Mudder, much less finish one, because I knew before I even started that I would fail. What I learned was that through a lot of hard work and through a team that I could trust, count upon, depend upon, I actually could finish a Tough Mudder, and I have my orange headband to prove it. I had no strategy to see me through as an individual, but I had the strategy, we had the strategy to depend solely on our team to see one another through, which included getting me to the finish line. And when you get to the finish line, they stop you and say, is your whole team here? You can't come through until your whole team is here. So we all crossed together. You may ask, why am I telling you this story? And it's because my experience last weekend is exactly, and I mean exactly, what the communion of saints is about. It's about being part of a team where every single one of us, no matter how slow or fast or mean or loving or judgmental or accepting or sinful or beloved, we are on a team where every one of us is a child of God. As Christians, we promise to support and love and accept one another as the beloved child and children of God that we were created to be. And the gift that I was given last weekend was not only the gift of an amazing team who stuck with me when I was way slower and not as strong as the rest of them, but the greater gift was the reminder that we were in this together, that we were all children of God making our way to the finish line with different strengths and gifts. But in this life, we're on our Christian journey together. And nobody gets left behind. As children of God, we should remember more often that we are called to step out of our comfort zones. We're actually called to be risk takers, which I don't like because I might fail. And even when failure is on the line, we are still called to risk, because if we don't, we will not grow. And if we don't risk, we will never experience the fullness of the kingdom of God that surrounds us and that we are called to proclaim. David, Laurel, and I have preached for 3 weeks on jumping in and diving deep and riding the wave in our community. And I was given the gift of riding an amazing wave last Saturday. But I could only do that because I chose to jump in, and in my 6 months did my best to dive deep. God doesn't ask for perfection. God doesn't ask us not to fail. God reminds us that as we take risks because we are children of God, a community of support surrounds us. Being children of God reminds us that we never live our lives in isolation, but we always live our lives in community. And as we baptize Emily and Max today, we pledge to become their community of support, not today, but for the rest of our lives. Just as people pledge to be your community of support on the day of your baptism, and when they grow up, they will pledge to support those who come after them. We live into our baptismal vows to support one another as we step beyond our comfort zone. Whether it's turning in a pledge card for the first time, or actually taking a look at the finances and upping it 1%. Whether it's telling your neighbor that you're Christian, or being clear that on Sunday mornings you'll be at church as that's what fills your life for the rest of the week. Each and every one of you is a beloved child of God. Jump into your belovedness. Dive deep into the community that supports you and ride the wave of joy, the wave of God, each and every day of your lives. Amen.